Be'ezah Hashem Yisbarach, we begin Perek Tishri, the ninth chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Nechos and Laws of Inheritance, Sefer Mishpat, and Book of Judgments, where in this parak we discussed regarding the partnership that the Yerushim have before it's divided. As Rambam gives halacha alf regarding this halacha that Yerushim inherited before they divided are like partners. Ha'achin, brothers, Shadayin Lechok Yerusha Zavim, that they have not yet divided the inheritance from their father. Elakulam Mishtamshim B'yachad B'mash Nichlam, rather they're all utilizing it together with what he left for them. Harim Kushutafin Chol David, so they're partners for all halachic purposes. V'chemishar HaYerushim, same thing is for all other inheritance. Hadehim Shutafin B'nichsei Marishim, they are considered partners in the properties of those who bequeathed to them. And b'chol shenosav anosni kolechem em b'mom and zeh, and any one of them that goes and does business dealing with these monies, hasoch l'emtza, so the profit is split in the equal, in the pot for them, because it's all considered as one partnership. Halacha bay is regarding what happens if the properties increase in value. So hoya yershim gedolim getanim, if the inheritors were adults and minors, v'shpichu ha'gedolim esanachosim, and the adults go ahead and increase the value of the properties, so shpichu l'emtza, they have made the profits for the middle, like we said. Now, but if Amru, if the adults say to the minors before they make it better, Ru'u mashanich lo na'aba, look what our father left us. V'rei anu oisim oichlam, we're going to go do work with it, and we're going to go ahead and consume that profit that we're making. Then hashevech shamashbech, then the profit's going to belong to the one who's increasing it, because the others who are not doing the part of the work, they're pardoning for them to be able to go ahead and take the profits, because look, you guys are doing the work, go ahead and do it. But that's as long as hashevach, that the prophets machmas hoitzah shehoitzi hamashbiach, because of the expenses that were expended by the one who's making the profit, then they can go ahead and keep the profits for themselves. But if the properties went up in value by themselves, hashevach lemza, then that profit is going to be split equally with them all. Halacha gimel. The chayin tending applies in the way he says, ishtu shalmeis hi, if let's say the wife of the one that died was hayireshes b'chlal ach yeseha, she's also a Yairish with her sisters. For example, let's say Reuben married his niece, the daughter of Shimon, his brother. And Reuben died without any children. And Shimon died, and he left over daughters that were minors. The widow of Reuben and her sisters inherit her husband from their father, which was inheriting his brother, had he been alive. Or let's say a case of where she's included in her cousins. Be that as it may, v'shbich anachasam, now the wife goes and makes the property better. So hashabak lamza, which she's one of the yarshim, so therefore the profit's going to go to the middle. But v'mamr, if she says, Rub mashanich li bali, look what my husband left me over, but any oisav echelas, I'll go ahead and do the work and I'll consume the profits. V'shbicha nuchasa machmas etza, and the properties went up in value because of the expenses that she invested. Hadei hashabak shalah, then again, they're all being meichel to her, and then the profit's going to be for her. Halacha dal, mishi yarish asav, if someone inherited his father, v'shbicha nuchasa, and the properties were increased in value. And he planted and he built. So this guy went and invested and did all these things with the properties inherited from his father. And then he subsequently finds that he has a brother in another country. So if those other brothers are minors, the profit's going to be split in the middle. The reason that is because you cannot be bringing down a relative, which is what the brother is, to the assets of a minor, even if he's taken captive, as we said in the previous parag. Therefore, we qualify him like someone goes into someone else's property without the permission of the courts, which he doesn't get anything. So therefore, it has to be split equally. Now, if those, that brother that he finds out in the other country were adults, since he didn't know that he had brothers, so then Shemali Karas, we're going to evaluate what he did the work as a sharecropper, so he'll get that extra as a worker. So that the brother goes down to the estate of a minor and he makes it better. In Shem Likaris, we're not going to evaluate him as like a sharecropper. As we explained this, only rather the prophet's going to go split in the middle. He didn't go down with permission because, again, we don't take a karev in the properties of a cotton. One of the brothers takes monies from the estate and he does business with it. If he's a great Talmudic scholar, he doesn't leave his Torah learning for even one moment, so then that profit's going to be for himself. Because he doesn't leave his Torah and go engage in business for the purposes and for the welfare of his brothers. And therefore, it's obvious and evident that he's doing it for himself, and therefore it's going to be for himself. Halacha vav, regarding the profits of the one of the Yarshim that is appointed like the head of the family. So Echman Achim, one of the brothers, Shemeno HaMelech Gabai, the king appoints him as a tax collector, or a sefer, or a scribe, Shemachnas HaMeitzi B'Momen HaMelech, that he's the accountant taking in and putting out the money of the king. anyone of the positions from the service of the kings, that he was appointed to this position. So in Machmas Avim, if they appointed him because of their father that passed away, meaning their father was a well-known accountant that worked for the king. And they said, okay, let's take one of his sons to take his place. Because they want to do kindness with the orphans and let this son take over from his father. So the payment that he takes, and all the profits he's going to make in this work, is lochalachans to all the brothers. And even though that son was more wise than the rest, but Rabbi said it's appropriate to appoint him, because that was coming really from taking over the role of his father. It's considered part of Yerusha, where it's le'emza. But if they appoint him because of himself, nothing to do because it's his father's son, so how it is last time, then that prophet goes to him. Halacha Zayin, regarding the profits from those who are engaged in the assets of the family. So Echman Achim, one of the brothers, he was doing business in the house, what was left in the Yerusha. Now, he bought servants in his name only, meaning on the deed, it's only written his name. It doesn't say anything about that he bought it with the monies from the inheritance. Let's say he lent money to others. On the document of the loan, it only said his name. Vamani says, yeah, most Eilu Shel Vesey, this money that I lent out, or Yishe Kenizim Ben Abadim, what I bought slaves with, Eilu Shel Levadehen, these are only my stuff. Shenafalim Ben Beis Abiyimi, because the money I used was money that I inherited from my maternal grandfather, meaning my mother's father, nothing with you, my brothers, are from the same father, it's from my mother's side. Or I found a found object. Or someone gave me a gift. So Allah Lahavi Raya, actually that son has to bring a proof that he had inheritance from somewhere else, or that he found a found object, or he married with a gift. If not, we suspect that this is from the inheritance money. A woman, the woman was saying that she was doing business dealings in the house. Which changed study mimka avodim. These are documents of sales of servants or study chayvus and other documents of debt. Yitzal Shema, which was saying that it was with her name on it. Varmish, she says, yeah, shalihim, these are mine. Shnafli mebeis abayi said, this is what I got from my father's, from my family. Olel lehovi ra'ayu shnafli yirusha. She has to bring a proof that this was something that she had from inheritance and not that as if this was from this is the married woman saying such a thing, which has to bring proof that it's not from her husband. And the chenalmana, so to a widowed woman, she was doing business dealing with the properties of the orphans. Now, in her office, there's all these documents with only her name on it. She says, yeah, Yerusha Nafli. It's from my inheritance that it came to me. I found a metziah, metanitli, our gift was given to me, and that's how I bought all these servants and all these things. She has to bring the proof to the contrary. Now, but v'myeshla nadunya, but if let's say she has a dowry, meaning there were properties that were given from her father's household into the marriage and which go back to her after her husband dies, and here she's a widow, v'amr, she says, yeah, minudunyasi lakachti, I bought these stuff from my dowry, so then the minute, then she's believed, there's reason to believe that. V'amenla nadunya, but if she does not have a dowry, and she doesn't make a proof, everything is presumed to be in the possession of the inheritors, and she's only writing her name, but really it's not her own. Halacha ches. When we say this, is ba'achim, with brothers, u'vamana, and with a widow, which, as we describe, but specifically, she'in chalukim be'isasam, where they're not separate with their dough, meaning that even their food, they eat together. So therefore we're saying that, okay, where are you getting money from? Obviously, you're taking it from the estate. Avam ho'i chalukim be'isasam, if let's say they ate their dough separately, shema me'isasam, maybe they were scringing on their dough, and that's how they saved up to be able to buy stuff and then make more money. And therefore, actually, now the other brothers have to bring the proof that it is from the pot and that it wasn't from his own dough. So too, even if, let's say, this brother who had been doing all this business died with his orphans cannot bring a proof because they don't know what was doing with their father's business dealings. Even if he didn't eat his own dough, it's on the brothers to bring a proof. Even though their father was one of the brothers, did not do his own dough, where does he have money from? We don't know. If he's there, he has to be able to explain it. If he's not there, so actually the orphans don't lose out because of that, and the other brothers would have to prove that it was from the joint monies. Halacha Tes, regarding a claim to an ownership of a document. So Echad Menachem, one of the brothers, Sheshtar Choiv, a document of debt of their fathers where he lent money to someone else, where he's owed money. Is Yitzim Tachas Yodai, he's holding on to it and he's claiming, yeah, Tati, our father, gave me as a gift this document that the guy will owe me the money. Allah lovi raya. He, that son has to bring proof, sha'aviv nesanale, that his father gave it to him, b'chsiva, that he wrote him a shtar matana on the shtar chayiv, u'mesira, and that he had given over to him this document. Or sha'tzivu lebesh kishur shchimera, or he has to at least bring proof that he had commanded it to him when he was a dying man, v'mlo hebira, if it doesn't bring proof, then it's shared by everyone, not that son. Halacha yud b'medvim, when do we say this? Ba'achim, by brothers. Why by brothers? Because there's always a presumption that they're more heter and they take from the family, saying that, you know, they have rights to that. But someone else that claims that it was given to him, but we bought it from the owner and he's holding on to that shtar chayiv, go either way, he can collect with it, but in the tzach, he doesn't have to bring a proof. The reason why he has it is because it was actually given to him or sold to him. Halachid Aleph continues regarding sustenance and regarding parnasa for marriage when it comes from the properties of the Yerusha. So Echad Menachem, one of the brothers, Shanatal Masayim Zuz Lim Taira, takes 200 Zuz from the estate to go learn Taira. So he wants to go learn the profession. So the brothers could tell him, look, it may not it's like if you're not living with us, you're not going to get food from the estate. Only according to the how much the blessing of the house is, because you cannot compare the expenses of a food for an individual, how much food is when you have many people. It's much cheaper to feed 10 people as one family than 10 individuals. And if you're going on your own, you're only going to get how much it would be for us to add a little bit more for you when you're eating together with us as a family and not to have your own separate food. Lochid Beis, Misha Meis, if someone passes away, and he leaves over sons, adults, and minors. So in a gedolim espanis and panos haketanim, we don't say that, in other words, the minors could hold back the adults not to get dressed up and to utilize from the shared estate because the adults' clothing is more expensive than that of minors. So v'loy ketanim mizayin sagedolim, and so too minors generally eat more than adults. So we don't say that they're going to have it according to what they normally are. No, they divide it equally. So the clothing that the adults usually spend is more and the food of the minors is usually more. We say that, no, that's not how it's going to be. We're going to equally divide and then you go and spend whatever you need. Now, if the adults get married after the father passed away, so to the minors, when it's time for them to get married, we'll also be able to take them from this date. And only after that, everyone takes their portion, how much they're going to need to get married, then they divide it. But let's say the adults got married when the father is still alive. Then the minors want to say after the father passed away, we want to get married the same way you got married. You got a beautiful wedding, a large band, all the food. We want to have the same thing. In Chumlam, there we don't listen to them. Whatever the father gave to them, he gave to them because that was a gift. That has nothing to do. If it's after he died and all the adults got married right after the father passed away and before it was divided and the youngest sons want to say, we also want to get from the Yerusha, that makes sense. But what they got when he was alive, that was a gift. It has nothing to do with the Yerusha and they don't have any rights to take that from the Yerusha if not everyone's taking that. Halachat Gimel, regarding the relevancy of how this applies weddings to the money, what's called Shoshbinas. Hisi Ha'av as Benayt. A father married off his son. Basle Mishten, they made a party, a banquet, a wedding. Now, the expenses of the wedding was from the father. Now, what happened was, in Talmudic times, there was this custom of sending gifts. Now, it was very much a ingrained halacha of obligation of this gift, where you would give a gift, and then you'd get back a gift when you get married. So, this son, when he got married, got us this gift when the father was still alive. So now, when that one who sent the gift, he himself is getting married, you have to give him back Shoshbinas. And now, this is already Lachem Yisav after the father passed away. So all the brothers have to participate in the expense because it was on the father who got the gift when his son was still alive because he spent the money on the wedding. He has to give it back, so all the sons have to share that obligation of the father. It's all from the same estate. But let's say that someone who got married, he made his own wedding, and therefore he took the gifts. So now in the chazeres, now when he has to pay back to that guy who gave him the gift, who's getting married, that's only the one that got the gift sent him. Then So he's the one that has the obligation to now send back and not the whole family. Halachi Dalt, the other way around. If the father had sent a gift to one of the friends, b'shem echad mibanav, the name of one of his sons, because one of his son's friends were getting married, he sent the gift. When the gift is being given back after his father already passed away to that son who's getting married now after his father passed away, it's his, because the father had sent, this is where it's a little different than the previous halacha, the father had sent the gift in his name to that son, to that son's friends. Now, when that his son's getting married, that friend gives it back to his son. But let's say when that friend, that acquaintance, had gotten married, and he sent the name of all his sons, unspecific, didn't say which son, so when it's given back, when one of his sons gets married, it goes back to the middle. Now, the one who was sent to the gift doesn't have to repay it until all the sons rejoice with him. They're all considered the shishbinin, those who are the close friends who give the gifts. Because like we said, in this case, it was sent in the name of all of the sons, not just one son. The vikar therefore, if he was rejoicing with some of the brothers who participate in the wedding, then he only returns a part of the portion of those who had rejoiced from him. That's it. But and that gets shared in the middle, but doesn't have to give back to those who had not participated for that quantity. Halakha Tzvav concludes regarding the utilization of money for expenses for this one, the oldest in the family. So Gedol Achin, the oldest of the brothers, Shoylovish Umeskasa Mabush Nam, that he would get dressed up and cover himself with beautiful clothing. So if the brothers get some pleasure out of that, why would they get pleasure? Because he looks respectable and his words are heard, and therefore he represents the family nicely. Then he could get dressed up from the company expenses, from the inheritance, because it's being done for the family and it doesn't have to come out of his own pocket.